You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
This morning, I just wanted to share for a few minutes about this phrase, the praise of His glory. It's something that's just been living with me for a little while, and I thought, okay, let's frame Sunday morning around that. You might have noticed that in our worship there was an awful lot of reference to praise. Yes, that was very deliberate. It wasn't a mistake. Worship leaders don't turn up and go, which way is the wind blowing? Well, they shouldn't do anyway. So what we've tried to do, or what I wanted to try and show, is almost a little bit of a demonstration of what I was then going to teach about. Okay. So we've started with praising the glory of God, called to worship, praising Him. We kind of came to the table and we sang about the cross and we worshiped Christ crucified. And then from that, we came out of that place and we worshiped and gloried in God again, which is the right kind of trajectory. But what I wanted to do was just think a little bit about this phrase, to the praise of His glory. It comes from one of Paul's letters. Paul is a New Testament author. He was an early church leader. He traveled, he preached, he planted new church communities, he established church communities. Then he did kind of crazy tours of the Mediterranean world, visiting them and encouraging them, and he wrote letters to the churches. And in one of the letters, he wrote a letter to a church in a place called Ephesus in Greece. One of the first chapter of that letter, there's loads of reference to praise and to the praise of His glory. And so what I wanted to do was read out that part of Ephesians chapter 1 and think about and look at the praise of His glory and pick out what Paul says and where it all sort of sits and what he's doing with it. To help us, I'm going to use the Message translation this morning, which isn't technically a translation. It's more of a paraphrase. It's trying to do like ancient languages and put them into English idioms, which are helpful for us in the sort of late modern world or whatever. So I'm going to read to us Ephesians 1, or part of Ephesians 1, from the Message. And as we go, I've also indicated in there whereabouts it literally says to the praise of His glory, just so that we get a little bit of an idea. So Annie, if we can go for this. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Now, that's one of the verses where Paul says, to the praise of His glory. Let's move on. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. That's to the praise of His glory again. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, you found yourselves home, free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This down payment from God is the first installment in what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life, to the praise of His glory. I remember being in my mid-teens, I think, and a pretty new Christian at that. I can remember lying on the top bunk in the tiny bedroom that I shared with my 7-year-old brother. Yes, it was awful. And I lay there and I read this as a new Christian in my mid-teens, I remember reading Ephesians 1, and I can still remember the overwhelming sense of just wonder and awe and glory that God had done all this, that God looked on me and thought of me like this, that God would choose me, that God would send his son to die for me. I was awful. And I sat and I was just overwhelmed. I think I probably wept, actually. Just the whole sense of the glory of God and all his purposes in Christ just just washed over me. Now, I think probably to use reflection, like later language, I'd say that in those moments, I had a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit. See, God's Spirit works through the Word. As we read the Word, the breathed out by God Word, we meet with God. He speaks to us. He encounters us. And in that moment, I just knew, wow, I'm loved by God. I'm known by him. It was remarkable. Just such a powerful moment of meeting with God as a new Christian. Now, later on, as my understanding of Ephesians grew, as I grew in my faith, I began to understand that all those beautiful things that God had done, all those wonderful things, that theological world tour that Paul goes on, it all had a purpose. God did it so that I would be to the praise of his glory. And that was a bit of a shift, because in that moment on my bunk bed, I was thinking, wow, this is wonderful. God's love is being poured out into my life. This is beautiful. I'm experiencing the love of God. Wow, this is nice. But then God began to show me, hey, yeah, and that's great, but I've done it so that you would be a worshiper, so that you would be to the praise of my glory. So it wasn't really about me. And I realized, I see. So God loves me, and he's poured his Spirit into me, but he hasn't come into my life to be this sort of divine aspiration maker. He came into my life so that I would delight in him and give praise to him, that it would all be to the praise. I see. So things were happening. As I read and grew and reflected on Ephesians 1, I began to understand it more. You know, yes, I was more loved than I could ever have hoped. And yes, I had a new identity as God's adopted child in Christ. And yes, the Spirit was indeed in me, a deposit guaranteeing the kind of life that I would have with God in the age to come. But it didn't stop there. It didn't terminate with me feeling nice, which I did. Not all the time, but in that moment, yeah, it was good. This is for the praise of his glory. I've been set apart. I didn't ask for it. I've been set apart for him, you know? Now, you might have thought, driving around York these few weeks, where did all these flags come from? Nobody asked me if I wanted flags up on lampposts outside my house. You know, nobody asked you if you wanted to, you know, God just comes to you and speaks and reveals himself to you. We don't go out looking for God. He does this mysterious work. And even if it involves someone saying, hey, John, can I tell you about Jesus? That's still God's initiative. God does this stuff. He comes to you. He reveals himself to you. He fills you with love, with hope, with life. And he says, and I've set you apart now. Out of just his free mercy, his kindness and generosity, I'm going to rescue you from worshiping the crappy gods made by human hands. And I'm going to fulfill your life, not by saying yes to all your prayers and answering your lovely daddy dreams, but I'm going to cause you to be a worshiper so that you see and understand that this is all about the praise of my glory. So I was growing. I was understanding. Ephesians 1 was making more and more sense. Later still, and I don't know, don't ask me how much later still, I began to notice that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all involved in this scheming, plotting plan. Because Paul says that it's the Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has chosen us in him before the world began. So the Father had a plan. The Son, Jesus the Son, enters into the world, takes on flesh, is crucified for us in order that we might have redemption. So it's praise to the Father. The Son redeems us to the praise of his glory. Then the Spirit comes and indwells us when we're in Christ so that we might be to the praise of his glory. Ooh, the Trinity. All of a sudden, the Trinity isn't an abstract idea that boffins think about, but the Trinity is involved in the very life that God is calling us to. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, speaking, calling, refining, renewing, loving, setting on a different path, calling us to be a people to God's praise. Father, Son, and Spirit all cooperating together, drawing us in to a life of praise. And then, even further down the line, I realized that Paul was talking about the church in Ephesians 1. That was a game changer. Because I don't know about you, but I think it's very easy to read the Bible, to read the New Testament in particular, and to read every pronoun, us, our, we, my, and basically squish it all together and swallow it as me. And sometimes we need to step back and realize, whoa, hang on a minute. The authors of the New Testament aren't just reducing everything down to me. That's how we think in the Western world, as individuals, as centers of consciousness, as decision-making, like autonomous decision-making things. But Paul writes this letter to the church. And so he's writing to a people. He's writing to a community. And he's saying, you together have been chosen, adopted, redeemed, filled with the Spirit and given a hope in order that you, plural, might be to the praise of his glory. Now, here's the big thing, church. This morning, at the start of a new season for us, at the end of weeks of disruption, of not being able to meet and do what we like to do, as we gather back together again, it's not us just gathering back together again. It's not us getting our stuff together, setting the alarm a little bit earlier on Saturday night, thinking, oh, Sunday morning. It's God calling us once again. And I feel that God wants to underline and reaffirm and give us some sort of rallying call against City Church. We exist as a people for the praise of his glory. If someone says to you, this needs to be the mantra, right? Someone says to you, well, what is City Church about? Well, first of all, we exist for the praise of his glory. Is that how you'd answer? I bet it's not. I bet it's not. I bet you'd say, well, we exist to sort of to be a community and to kind of love one another, and we exist to sort of serve the city. That's what we're here for. Yeah, both of those things are true. Yeah, we're here to be a community. We're here to serve the city. Or you might say, well, we're here to share the love of God, to preach the gospel. Yeah, great. It's good. That's also what we're here for. None of those things are wrong. But the primary thing, the unique thing, the thing above all other things is that we are called to be a people who are for the praise of his glory. And if that isn't the top level primary thing, all the things underneath it, like gospeling or whatever we call it, or community, which we prize, or serving, which we're for, all of that starts to take on a slightly distorted character. And it begins to be a bit misshapen. Because the thing through which it all needs to be filtered, in a sense, is the glory of God and the praise of his glory. Why do we do community? We do community because it's in community that we build one another up and encourage one another in a life which is to the praise of his glory. We're not called to do that by ourselves. We're not called to have 200 quiet times on weekday mornings and perhaps on a Saturday if you're feeling really pious, and that's how we do it. No, together, it's about all of us together as a community, in small groups, in wider communities, learning what it is to be a people who praise him. Not just the people who are kind of, hi, how was your week? Oh, cool. Yeah, nice, thanks. And then go home, oh, I had a really encouraging conversation. Really? We're here to be for the praise of his glory. It's not for us. It's not primarily for us. If we don't have that at the heart of it all, our community just becomes about niceness. And let's be frank, there are probably nicer, if you wanted to use that word, there are probably nicer communities in York that aren't Christian communities. If it's just about niceness, right? Now, you're really lovely. We are, aren't we? I think we're all right. But if you measure it by niceness, we've gone wrong. What marks us out as a community? We are here to be to the praise of his glory. That's the thing that distinguishes us. It's what God's always wanted. Like, what does God want? What does God call Israel for? Because he was feeling particularly magnanimous that day. Oh, go on then. I don't like Pharaoh anyway. We're throwing a few fireworks with some, like, fire and clouds and seas parting. You know, that'll keep them talking in Sunday school for centuries to come. What a great day that was, eh? No, it's not what it's for. God did it so that he would have a people on earth who proclaimed his greatness. What's the first thing that happens when they come out the sea? Miriam picks up a tambourine. God bless Miriam. If your name is Miriam in this church, don't bring your tambourine. And George, don't you get any funny ideas either. But Miriam praises. She praises. That's the first response. That's the response to salvation. Yes! Yes, God! The horse and his rider, he's thrown into the sea. You're the triumphant one. Woo! You know, my dear friend John Hunt is a Sunderland fan. He's a good guy but has his flaws. And I've seen video of the moment when Sunderland scored the winning goal to be promoted to the Premier League at the end of last season. He praised! Yes! It's a cry of worship. Now listen, we're called to praise, not nicely, not in a kind of meh sort of way. Oh, I don't care. Do you know why I love that song that we sing, Praise? You know, it's not the, let everything, it's not that. It's not that it's kind of, you know, a bit funky. It's not none of that. It's not that it's got a loud drum thing. I love the content. I'll praise when I feel it, and I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise because I know you're still... It's nothing says it. It's not triumphalistic. It's not a kind of, oh, yeah, in our presence, in his presence, our problems disappear. No, it's not that. It's this visceral, deep-rooted kind of, whoa, oh, I praise you. That's what I'm here for. Okay? Church, take it on. Embrace it. I will be a person of praise with my brothers and sisters who are people of praise. Did I say it was going to be short? God. Let's think about, well, I mean, this just goes for serving. This goes for everything. Serving, mission, evangelism, whatever we want to call it, however we want to think, praise comes first. Now, mission, evangelism, community, they can be a part of our praise, right? But when they get out of, when they get pushed in a different direction or get out of shape, it goes wrong. So I just want to keep on saying, let's be a people who make much of God, who have as the first thing praise. That's the thing at the heart of everything. Let's be a God-besotted community. That's what we're called to be together. And we're called as individuals to help one another and to encourage one another into being a God-besotted community. It's not a few pros who come and do the God-besotted stuff and we watch on and go, oh, isn't it nice that he's so passionate? While your own heart is flatlining spiritually. It's not the point. We're called together to be a people of praise, a people who are delighted in God. The American pastor John Piper once said that mission exists because worship doesn't. It's a provocative phrase. I would say that worship does exist, actually. It's just false worship, idolatry. So we could say Christian mission exists because true worship doesn't. Now, how does worship work? Is it winning? How does mission work in terms of worship and praise? Is it a question of persuading people with clever arguments that what they've always thought about God is wrong and we've got the right answer? Or is it about being a people who are so thoroughly in love with God, who are such a praising people, that when they see us, they think, oh my goodness, it recommends God to their hearts. They think, well, wow, I'm not sure that it all adds up intellectually for me at the moment, but there's something going on here. Wow. Something's happening. Yes, like that. Because it's about the spirit connecting with the human heart, knocking on the door of the heart. Hey, look at this. Hear the praises of God. Hear the glories of God. Hear God is speaking. God is revealing himself. God is working here. Open your eyes. See, can you notice? It's this deep thing. where praise recommends the glories of God to people who are looking on, who are not believers. And I think it does something in ways that clever arguments just don't do. So let's be a people who are full of love for him, who are appraising. Let's turn this house into a house that is absolutely rocking and rolling with the praises of God. You know, better a house of praise than a mausoleum, right? Christ, sometimes the Christ crucified becomes the, you know, shoulders drop, oh dear, we're all here to be introspective this morning. You know, hallelujah. Hello, brother, how are you? Yes, I'm well, thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet, my tribute bring. Ooh, ransom to store. Praise him. Doesn't recommend the living God, the God of glory, the God who rescues and saves, the God who chooses and adopts and heals and delivers, the God who parts the waves, the God who speaks cosmos into being, the God who is even now bringing new creation into the world, the God who even now has raised Jesus from the dead and is flooding creation with resurrection life, the God who even now is building the church, a people for his praise. When they look like they are bored out of their boxes, it doesn't recommend the glory of God to a watching world that wants to know more than just, is this a bunch of make-believe? It's a heart thing. God dwells in the praises of his people. And when we're here and we praise him, he's present and he's revealing himself. So let's be a people who put his praise at the top, and everything else needs to be done relative to that, to the praise of his glory. Now, it's a learning job. It takes practice, and that's all right. That's why we sing. That's why we gather. That's why we do these. We're learning together. How can we become a praising people? But that's the call, brothers and sisters. This term and on into the future, God is shaping us to be a people for the praise of his glory. That's the thing. Let's go at it with all our hearts. Why don't we pray? Father, we want to thank you for all the beautiful, wonderful, rich ways that you have come to us and made yourself known to us. God, we ask that you forgive us where we're just lazy, cold, hard, distracted. Lord, forgive us where the sort of generic phrase, I didn't get anything out of that. Please, Lord, let that be the furthest phrase from our lips, because we've seen that it's to the praise of your glory. It's got nothing to do particularly with whether I get anything out of it or not. Jesus, we want you to be honored. We want you to be known. We want you to be treasured and prized. And we know that we can't commend that which we don't deeply adore. And so we ask that you would put so deeply in us a fresh love for you, a fresh sense of praise, a fresh sense of urgency for that. And that every bit of our church life together, our serving, our community, our missional outlook, whatever we call that, Lord, we ask that it would be shot through first and foremost with a sense of your praise, a sense of your worth, a sense of your greatness and majesty and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're done. No clapping. I heard a clap. Not yet. No, wait, you can do it afterwards. Right, excellent. We're up and running. Hallelujah. We're back. We're in a bright, brilliant building that Pete Bixby has touched every square inch of. Excellent, Pete. Very good. You know, touched me last belongs to me. Doesn't work with that, right? So let's take this on board. Let's praise. We've got prayer meetings. All that will start to kick into gear again. And there'll be communications about that over the coming days and weeks and everything. But bless you. Have an amazing week. Have a praising week. And we'll see you back here next Sunday. And we'll be in John again after a few weeks layoff. So let's be back to next week and look forward to doing that. Amen.